What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Fan World. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams, and today's show is going to run a little longer than usual. I have a much overdue segment with Greg Nine, and then I'm being joined by Katasa, and we're going to discuss ISFL contracts. Up first, Greg Nine. Hope you enjoy. All right, I'm being joined here by Greg Nine. How's it going today, man?
It's going pretty good.
Hey, thanks for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into questions with you. First, how did you discover simulation leagues?
As with, I'm pretty sure everyone you've interviewed so far, it was a Reddit post. It was actually, I think, like the third time I saw the post. I have no idea why I decided to join that specific time, but glad I did.
So was ISFL your first league?
Yep. Yeah, I haven't done anything like this before, which might be why I've gotten so into it this first time around, you know. I didn't have any of those Madden games like a lot of other people with the GM modes and stuff.
So you weren't into Madden or anything like that then, huh?
Not really. I mean, I played it before, but I don't think I own any systems that it even runs on, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a big part of my gaming before I found this league was Madden, playing the GM mode.
Right.
That was definitely one of those users.
I like the sound of it, but I don't know that I want to go pay, probably cost $60 for Madden games nowadays.
I think it's with the new systems, I think it's even more now.
Ugh, jeez. Yeah. I'm sorry, it doesn't sound that fun.
So, what influenced... what was your influence behind Bruckner? Was it, or what made you decide cornerback?
So, well, first the character name. Just as far as I can remember, I name all of my characters, whether it be in a video game or an RPG, D&D type thing. I name my characters after composers.
Okay.
It takes a lot of the thinking out of it for me. Instead of trying to be super creative, I just pick a composer and go with it.
Huh. That's interesting.
So for Football League, Anton Bruckner sounded like a good football name, so that's what I went with.
Huh.
As for position, originally I was an offensive line, for no real reason. You know, I have some offensive linemen I like and all that. I think it's a cool position, but kind of open for anything. So when Minnesota asked if I would be interested in switching, I said yes, and they gave me a few that they were looking for, and I chose cornerback out of those.
Right. So I know you mentioned using composer names for like character names. What other names have you used in other games or other things aside from The Sims?
Oh, so many. it'd be harder to come up with the ones I haven't used at this point. I can tell you right now, I'm thinking my next one will be Gustav Mahler. It sounds like another good football name.
Do you have a position in mind for your next time around?
Very, very vaguely. Well, it'll definitely be dependent on needs at the time. Up until this past draft, I was thinking, you know, tight end might be the next one, but then we got flooded in tight ends. So not that.
Sure, that has something to do with the Kelce, Kittle, Waller boom in the NFL.
Right, it's a sexy position now.
So during my research for this conversation and my conversations with you, I found some friendly back and forth jabs between you guys. Is that just a natural rivalry between two the best young corners in the ISFL?
As far as I know, that's exactly what it is. actually, before switching, when I was still OL, I think it was me and Cade Williams had kind of the same thing going. But then I switched to cornerback, and then me and JOO got it. Got some jabs in. It's fun to have someone to, you know, compete against.
So is that something that you've started? Being you've kind of had a rivalry at all your positions. Are you the one starting these things?
Yeah, I'm very antagonistic, you know. No, I don't think I started it. I don't remember when it started, though. But I was always looking at, TPEs for other people in my class and my position, and JO is definitely the other top cornerback. I believe after this update, we are tied. So we'll be tied going into the next season.
All right, so you guys are just neck and neck still.
Neck and neck. I think there was a 1, maybe 2 point difference last season after they were ahead of me the whole season. So it's going to be neck and neck for a good long while.
Looking forward to seeing kind of how that plays out.
We'll just not talk about stats.
That's
Well,
funny.
PPE is all that matters.
Well, I mean, actually, stats are kind of exactly what I want to talk about here for a
Oh,
second.
no.
So I know through the season you've mentioned having issues with your on-field performance. What is it that's frustrated you or has made you looking to make changes?
So I don't want to sound like a stat queen or anything, but I don't care about like racking up, huge career totals or Hall of Fame or whatever. Just kind of don't want to be a detriment to your team, especially a cornerback of all positions, first season it wasn't a big deal. There's a lot of luck involved. Second season, I start to wonder, maybe I have a bad build, So I did some testing, and sure enough, I think I had a bad build, so it made some changes there. I think we're on 2 games in a row of an interception after having one ever before that. So hopefully good changes.
So you kind of roll right into my next question here, actually. I know you're someone who does a lot of sim testing. Is that something that you did strictly for player development or for team success, or is that a little bit of both?
Definitely both, they kind of go hand in hand. For the most part, leading up to now, it's been team strategies, week to week setting strats. But I'm just starting on a new project with someone else. I don't know if they want to keep it secret or not, where we're looking at more player build type stuff.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you've seen it, because I had literally just posted it at the time that we're recording this, but I just posted a sim testing method. So hopefully we can get some other people in here figuring out the sim so we can make it suck a little less.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. So, as someone who's never been a part of it, what all goes into sim testing?
A lot of coffee, a lot of annoyance, patience. It's as if the program is built not to be sim tested at times. Essentially you just go in, you run the game or the season however many times, look at the results, make one change, load it back, do it again. Try to figure out what tends to help, and then guess what your opponent will be using and test against that. It's kind of a big game of chess at times.
So now, is there a specific stat or something that you're looking for with that? Or is it just kind of seeing what the wins and losses?
For me, I prefer to look at almost purely wins and losses. Who cares if the quarterback is throwing for 100 more yards if you're taking marginally more losses? Then it doesn't matter. In most cases, and especially now that we're able to get up to a pretty decent sample size, we're able to look at wins and losses over 1,000 games or something, so you can figure out what is significant once you get up to those numbers.
So what type of adjustments are you making during that process?
Pretty much everything. So I'm sure you've heard by now, like, we know very little about this sim really. So just mess with everything, see if it has an effect at all.
This is what the second season with this sim?
I believe it's the second season. I think my Prospect Bowl game was the very first one publicly shown with the new sim.
Now, I don't want you to give away any of your secrets. I mean, unless that's something that you want to do on the podcast here, but what kind of general advice would you have for players trying to make adjustments to their build who maybe aren't satisfied with their on-field performance?
Well, fortunately for all of those people, I just posted a testing method that you should go check out. That, use that and then make slight adjustments to your build if you want to test on your own. And just figure out which gives more wins to your team, or more stacks to your player if that's what you want to do. Hopefully here in the next season or two with everyone testing, we'll be able to figure out, you know, what really doesn't work. And hopefully there's enough freedom that you can do kind of what you want with your build. You know, we're all hoping it's not like a super set meta, like you have to get speed up to this ASAP or you're going to lose type thing. But, you know, one way to find out.
So this season you stayed down in the DSFL with the Grey Ducks. Was that something you wanted to do, or were you hoping to get called up right away?
You know, I didn't really have strong feelings one way or the other. The goal is always ISFL. You know, I've been outspoken against, you know, DSFL lifing and all that, but I have no complaints about staying with the Ducks one extra season. Was hoping to get that Ultimini, but alas, it is not meant to be.
So was this your last season in the DSFL?
I don't believe a decision has been made yet, but if I had to guess, yeah, probably. Until next character, at least.
So if this is your last season, what's been your favorite moment in your DSFL career?
That's a tough one. I don't know, probably, so last season, the Ducks started out 0-4. You know, we were all watching the games and still involved, but it was pretty bummer to go 0-4. And then we had a doubleheader night where we won both games pretty convincingly. And, you know, everyone was in chat that night, so there's lots of celebrations, lots of cheering each other on. So that might have been the moment that really got me into the league, if I wasn't into it already. So that's probably one I would go with.
So that was your first season around?
Yeah, first season. First wins.
So you were drafted by Oko this season. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on draft night?
Took me totally off guard. I'm sure you've read the mocks. Pretty much everyone, including me, had myself going the next pick to Philadelphia. Because I thought for sure OCO was going to go with linebacker, because there were a few really good ones. And then, or wide receiver if they didn't go linebacker. I definitely didn't expect them to go cornerback there in the first round.
So then you had no idea that they were looking to take you then?
Yeah. Of course, I was scouted by him and everything, but yeah, I didn't think they would grab me there at third overall.
So what are you looking forward to most about getting called up?
Kind of getting the career started, really, because, you know, I view the DFSFL as, you know, the developmental league, you know, get you going for your career to start in the ISFL. So I'm eager to see how my character will do when the career actually starts with the new build and everything.
So with the adjustments you've made recently, you think you have got your player in a position to, I guess, start performing in the way that you are looking for?
I'm hoping so. You know, I'll be coming in at a pretty decent TPE for a rookie with at least a decent build. I'll probably do some more testing in the off season, see exactly how I want to unbank all my TPE. But yeah, I think I can go in pretty good shape.
So from my time around Minnesota, you, Shrub, and Painted seem to have become very close.
Right.
How excited were you when the Otters also drafted Shrub?
I was really excited. It was another huge surprise. I had Shrub mocked to all kinds of places, but OCO was not one of them. I didn't think they needed a tight end either, which Shrub was at the time, but they swapped him to linebacker, which is what I thought they would take in the first round. So. It'll be really awesome getting to play with them on the same side of the ball this time around.
Yeah, when I had him on my podcast, we discussed his position switch and kind of went into a little bit of that. So,
right. I'm so glad they got Shrub and not Painted.
I'm sure he's going to be very happy to hear that.
Yeah, hi Painted.
So what does it mean for you two to continue to play together?
It's great. You know, we're able to... It's always kind of, you know, weird, stressful, perhaps, going into a locker room where you don't know anyone. Of course, I had been chatting with a few people there already, but having Shrub there as well, And again, playing on the same side of the ball together is a lot of fun. Will be a lot of fun next season too.
So I know you're pretty active in the media side of things, and you definitely seem to pay attention to stats. Who's winning the Ultimus this season?
Okay, so you got a bet for Arizona, I think. They got a good roster, good players, high TPE. And I think, of course, this is all shrouded in secrecy, but I think one of the better sim testing rooms as well. So they got a lot of stuff going for them.
You know, I was hoping that you and I were going to disagree right here, but I absolutely agree with you. I think this is Arizona's season, so right. We'll see what happens in the playoffs.
There is a lot of luck involved, so it could not go their way. But I think if you're betting money, it's got to be on Arizona.
If you were to pick anybody else, who do you think is going to give Arizona the toughest time, whether that be on the conference side or make, you know, the actual championship game?
That is a good question. Who has the most good luck charms at this point? Let's see if I can remember who's in the playoffs at this point. You know, Berlin has been playing really well. I don't know how much of that is luck and how much of that is just being good, but probably Berlin.
You have Berlin on one side and Arizona on the other getting, I guess, the bye week or whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
definitely less certain about Berlin making it to the Ultimus than Arizona, because Berlin has to get past Sarasota as well.
And then it's Austin versus New York and Sarasota versus Yellowknife.
Right. Yeah, I think Arizona has... I'm sorry to all of the ISFL people listening to this, but I think Arizona has the easiest path to the big game compared to anyone on the other side of the bracket.
I'm sure the guys from Arizona would disagree with that statement.
Yeah, I probably would have just made all kinds of enemies there, but, you know.
Luckily for you, you've already found a home. So, on the other side of things, with the Grey Ducks being eliminated, who's your pick to win the Ulta Mini?
Oh, well, now I'm going to make an enemy with you right here, because I think I got a bet on Portland, but London is definitely my second. I think that divisional game is going to be the real Ulta Mini.
So you think whoever wins in that conference game is going to be the winner?
Right, although I should warn you that whoever I bet on loses, so...
You know, that being said, I'm pretty happy to not have your support at this
point. Right. I was saying last week in the locker room, it's going to be Portland versus London will be the real Ulta Mini, and then whoever wins that will still lose in the next game in Tijuana or something.
That would be terrible.
Sorry,
you know, I'm excited for the success that I've had with this being my first Sim League ever, my first player. It's been a fun season. Just being a part of a winning team and going to the playoffs is fun.
I wonder what that's like.
I didn't quite get the same numbers that I was getting in the beginning of the year. It seemed like the more TPE I put into my build, the worse my player performed on the field. I don't know what was going on there. But
there's definitely something to be said for 50 TPE luck.
Yeah.
So I think last season we had defensive performance of the year was by like a 70 TPE build or something, if I recall.
You know, that's not surprising. One of our rookies had in like the first or second week, it was like 12 or 15 tackles or something like that. Something
yeah.
ridiculous. And that was with, you know, the basic TPE build.
Right.
So now I know talking to you, you mentioned that you had some questions for me and that you didn't get them by yourself. So this is where you three that we spoke about earlier, I guess, surprised me with some questions.
Right, this will segue good from the how you're doing in London thing. So the first submitted question by anonymous sources is, how does it feel being the second best defensive end in London?
Anonymous sources, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not to be named?
Not to be named. Not ever. High painted.
You know, it's actually, I can see painted trying to make that into a thing, but being second behind Pibb or Glenn Smart, as his players known, is definitely not an issue to me. He's been probably the most helpful when it comes to creating my player. I've spent a lot of time talking with Pibb on what it takes to build a good defensive end. I think he's definitely the type of player to model your player around. We have different player roles or player types, with my player being a power rusher. I don't think Pibb's player is. But he's probably been, like I said, the most helpful when it comes to just where to put my TPE, what's important early, what can wait a little later in the season, things like that.
Right. Yeah, if I was a better trash talker, I would keep on you. But yeah, Pibb is awesome. I hope someday we'll end up on the same team. This is not tampering, by the way. But.
Yeah, I know Painted probably meant that to be a little more of a thing, but with Pibb taking on the true mentor role to the rookie defensive end, I have nothing but great things to say about him. So,
right.
You know, he's truly been a mentor to, you know, a new defensive end coming into the league.
I do have one more submitted by an anonymous source. That's definitely not me. Why did you decide to play the worst defensive position?
Ooh. You know, I don't think it is the worst defensive position. I chose to play defensive end with my first player just because when I did play football in real life, it was my favorite position to play. I played football basically all throughout middle school and high school. And up until I got a little bit too small to play the position and moved to the running back side of the ball, defensive end was always my favorite place to play. There's something about breaking free through the line and just getting that pressure on the quarterback. There's, you know, that foot race to the end there is just, it's a different experience for me. Granted, I never played anywhere else outside of defensive end and running back. So I couldn't really tell you, you know, the feeling of playing anything else. But for me, that's, I guess that's what did it. I'm also not sold on the position. Like I said, I created it just because that's what I enjoyed to play in real life. But I've told everybody that through the scouting process for this upcoming draft that I'm very open to switching positions.
Right. You'll probably get asked the question every interview anyway, but
yeah, I've basically going through this process. Once I started getting scouted by a lot of teams, I kind of put it in order of like the positions that I liked that I would like to play and, you know, what order they are and the positions I have absolutely no interest in playing.
That's smart.
Like for me, I have no interest in playing quarterback. I don't really want to play offensive line. I've heard that was kind of a bot dominated position. So it's just not really something I want to go to.
Yeah, in the past it has been, but I think we'll see that changing here pretty soon.
And like defensive tackle, I'm already a defensive end, so if I'm going to stay on the defensive line, I don't really want to change my position.
Right.
And then I don't really care to be a kicker or a punter, but outside of that, I'll basically play anywhere else. So if they want to move me to a linebacker, cornerback, safety, running back, whatever.
Right. Those are all good positions. Not to give away too much, but we're going to find out exactly what is the worst defensive position here pretty soon with data. So far, you are not looking good.
Yeah, defensive end definitely doesn't seem to be, I guess, the sexiest position on the field.
To say not the least, at least.
With the sim. As far as the defensive line, it seems like well, it depends on what you're looking at, I guess. When you're looking at sacks, at least in the DSFL numbers, that's pretty much a defensive end dominated stat, Xavier Walls being the exception.
Xavier is insane.
Yeah, he's had an incredible season. If he doesn't win linebacker of the year, then I don't know. There's something wrong there.
I'm pulling up this stat line real quick for anybody that doesn't keep up with DSFL stats.
I think everybody behind him on the sack line, at least in the top 10, is defensive end.
Right.
Might be a tackle in there, but I think it's defensive end is mostly dominating that position.
So as a linebacker, 11 sacks, leading the league, 102 tackles.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then leads in interceptions too, I believe. Okay, not quite. Definitely among linebackers, though. 4 interceptions, 14 passes deflected, a touchdown, 7 forced fumbles. Insane stats.
So I can go ahead and tell you, since it hasn't come out yet at the time of recording, but by time this podcast is released, it will. The episode that comes out this Wednesday actually has Titan MVP on it, or Xavier Walls.
Awesome.
So I had him on and was able to discuss the luck he's had this season. And he's actually seemed pretty surprised about it himself. So it's nice to have him on, at least until this game comes up here.
All right. I'll have to tell him to give somebody else a turn with the stats next season.
So it was a little weird because, like I said, I try to have people on from all over the league. But having him on right in the middle of this London-Portland battle, you know, I want to wish him luck, but at the same time, I don't really want to wish him luck. So
you don't need to. He's already got it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
although I think we play you guys next week, so.
Tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, I almost was late in getting strategy. Well, Russ was almost late in getting strategy set because we thought it was Tuesday.
You know, that wouldn't have been a bad thing.
Maybe. Maybe not.
All right, nope. If you guys don't get your strategies in. Yeah, it's a little weird this week having the games kick off right away.
Right. It'll be nice.
Kind of weird having the doubleheader with the playoff game and then the DSFL game.
Right.
But is that how they normally do it?
You know, I can't remember. I can't remember if they switched it last year or not, or last season.
I know they just released the season 29 off-season schedule.
Yeah.
Looking at that, I don't know if maybe it just seemed longer because I was a prospect, but it seems like they did a lot better of a job spacing the events out and giving, I don't know, it doesn't seem like there's much dead time between league events.
Right. Last offseason definitely did feel long. It might have been a week longer. I'm not entirely certain, but.
Yeah, it's just nice. It seems like there's the most gap is like 2, maybe 3 days between some kind of league event. So.
Right. The problem with the offseason is, you know, a lot of this stuff does need time, like the drafts take time, call-ups and all that.
5 days or something like that just for the actual draft itself. I think that's what they said it was, not even including, you know, whatever you guys do to go into that beforehand.
Yeah, and then you have to have call-ups done before DSFL draft or something like that. You know, there has to be a certain order to thing, and they all need time, you know.
Looking forward to being a part of that this offseason.
Yeah, it'll be super fun.
So I've worked my way into the war room, so I'm...
Ooh, congrats.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what the other side of things is. You know,
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So did you have any more questions from your anonymous sources?
No, that's all they gave me, lazy bums.
That was actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Painter was trying to had a better trash talker on to ask him. It would have been worse. But
I think Painter was trying to start something with that first question.
I think so. Whoever it was, probably.
I'll address it the next time we do the Lion and the Loon segment.
Right. Watch me be remembering it wrong and it was actually Shrub or something. And Painter's going to get all the flack anyway.
Painter's like, man, I had the other question. I don't know what Greg was talking about.
Yeah.
So, was there any other subjects you wanted to discuss?
Not that I can think of. I'll probably remember something afterwards.
Well, feel free to ask away at any time, but I'm going to go ahead into a little way that I like to wrap up a lot of my interviews, which is, do you consider your...
I am what they call a dad gamer, which is where I like the idea of gaming, but I don't really game all that much.
So what are you currently playing?
Spreadsheets. I like spreadsheets and chess. Does that count?
I guess a little bit.
Yeah. Other than that, though, my kid is getting to the age of Pokemon and Minecraft, so that's what we're doing.
So what would you say is your favorite game of all time?
I knew this question was coming the whole time, and I still don't know the answer to it. I've spent a lot of hours playing RuneScape, Factorio, Minecraft, chess, all those great games.
So if you had to pick one, well, who would be your favorite?
Oh, man. If I had to pick one, I'm going to go with a nerdy answer and go with chess, I think.
Do you have a certain chess game that you play, or is it just a plain old...
Nope, plain old chess.
Default chess app that comes on most Microsoft computers.
Well, I use the website is LightChess, which is...
Okay, so you are using something different.
Yeah.
So... All right, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on the podcast with me.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this for a long time. I'm glad to finally be on.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to get it lined up to get you on here, and definitely looking forward to having you back on once you get called up and seeing how your ISFL experience is going.
We will see. Maybe I'll have some stats by then.
I'm sure with the amount of sim testing you do, you'll definitely get some stats going.
You would think.
So, right on, man. Definitely wishing you best of luck with this off season. And if it is your last season in the DSFL, then looking forward to seeing what you do next year in the ISFL.
Yeah, wishing you good luck in the playoffs as well.
I mean, I don't know if I want that after what you told me earlier.
Oh,
but
good point. Listen, you're probably going to lose.
I'll take that for what it is and just roll with it.
All right.
So. But all right, man, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you here in a little bit.
Of course, anytime. I'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Joining me now to discuss ISFL contracts, Tijuana GM and the user behind Rich Triplett, Katasa.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's been a long time. How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Oh, doing good. Had a heartbreaking end of the DSFL season and ISFL. But other than that, pretty good, my man. How are you?
You know, unfortunately, your heartbreaking end of the DSFL season was a really happy one for me. But
oh yeah, last time we faced London in the Ultimate E. Three times total, and that was our first loss to them, so that one, taking that. But hey, I mean, I'm happy for you, man. I won an Ultimini in Tijuana, and that is like the highlight of my career.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. I mean, the Ultimini was great, and the conference championship game, I don't know if you've seen that, but for my player, that was probably my performance highlight of the season.
I watched it, but I didn't really keep tabs on your guys' game on the Portland London one. I mainly just watched, I had it up, but I was mainly watching to see who won,
yeah,
as opposed to keeping a track. But hey, that's awesome, man. Performing great in the playoffs is a good feeling.
We were down, I think it was 10 to nothing or 10 to 3 at the time. And I had a
strip sack fumble in the end zone.
And then I scooped it up and scored in the touchdown to bring London back within 3 at that point. So
yeah, I do remember seeing that. Yeah. It was like right in the end zone. That was awesome, man.
Yeah, it was my first basically my first forced fumble of the season happened.
Oh man.
The best time it could have. So
what a time. What a time. Well, that's awesome, man.
normally I would have done an intro already, but we've kind of just started rolling, so.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, if you want to do it, I'm still down. I'm more of a cold open kind of guy. That's just my style.
I mean, if anybody hasn't been able to tell yet, I got Kotasa joining me today.
Hello. Happy to be back.
We are going to discuss some contracts, actually.
Yeah. So contracts in the ISFL. So thing about the ISFL, I this is just a personal stance from me. I disagree with how agents are handled in this league. And I think that can leave a lot of people kind of stressed out when it comes to contracts or free agency if people decide to go that route. So that's been kind of a touchy subject for me. And I think that being an agent should be more accessible. Obviously, the people who vote on the rules disagree, but that's also voting against their best interest. But that's a different topic for a different day. So
I mean, you know my experience with this league, but mm-hmm. I'm coming into my first, my first contract, really. Like, I've had my DSFL contract, but mm-hmm. coming into my first ISFL contract, like, I'm not even sure what to expect. Like, you're talking about agents, and, you know, I hear people talking about different clauses or conditions that they put into their contracts, things like that. Like, as a mm-hmm. new member and somebody that's new to Sim Leagues, like, I don't even know what an example looks like of a clause for a contract or anything like that, that you would see in the ISFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So there's a couple different kinds of clauses. There's, there's stuff that relates to the actual sim itself. And then some people do like silly clauses or like Discord clauses in a sense. I call them that. So say whatever team drafts you, you sign with them, and let's say you want like a custom role in the server. You want to, I'm just going to hypothetically, because I'm going off the dome here, you want your role to be like Fan World or like podcast guy or something like that. You could ask for that. And then in the Discord, they give you your own custom role. You could do a little color switch if you want to do that. Stuff like that is a contract, is kind of like what a clause is.
Okay.
You know, there's also no trade clauses, which are pretty self-explanatory. You can't be traded unless you waive it, which I encourage everybody to get. If most GMs, if they're going to trade you, are going to talk to you about it beforehand. That's just kind of how it goes. And then there's other, this typically isn't common for rookies. Just because of how the league works, and you know, typically you're not going to be called up your first season. Sometimes you are, but typically not. You can get like positional clauses. So like my clause is I have to be cornerback one in every formation. So you know, if you're a wide receiver, going to be a free agent, something you might want to look for is wide receiver one if you care about stats. If you don't care about stats, then it's not that big of a deal, but that's my whole deal in this league. Trying to make Hall of Fame and whatnot, so
yeah. And I know that's, you know, for a lot of people that's the goal, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. really for everybody essentially. That's, I don't think anybody joins the league going, you know, I think I'm gonna be the worst player in my draft class and just skate by. I don't think that's the outlook of anybody. I think when they join, you know, everybody's kind of got the, at least the hopes and aspirations for a Hall of Fame career. You know, some people seem to pursue it a little more than others, but
mm-hmm. yeah, well, you know, and some people don't care. You know, some people are like, I'm gonna just do this on the side. I'm gonna just do minimal effort. You know, that's how I am in PBE, which is the baseball one. I'm a pretty low effort guy. Don't really care about, I mean, I care about my player, but I don't really, I'm not going hard over there. I'm not max earning. I'm just doing whatever I need to do for a week, and then I pretty much hop off. So, you know, some people, different strokes for different folks. You know what I'm saying?
Now, is that PVE? Is that an affiliate? Are you able to cross your point tasks over?
You are. Since we're in Ultimus week right now, though, we can't. But, you can cross your point tasks over, which is pretty nice because it saves me some writing, because I do the ISFL one anyways. I just throw it over there.
Yeah, I just joined my second sim league, so I'm.
Oh, which one?
I'm in the SHL now. I'm started Sunday, so what are we? 3 days now.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about SHL. I've thought about joining it a couple times, but I'm just not that into hockey.
Yeah,
So it's tough for me to get excited.
that's kind of how I am with baseball. PBE sounds fun, but I'm not really into baseball anymore. So I think trying to create a player over there when I don't really care about the sport, I think would be hard.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't really care about baseball either. I mainly just made my guy over there as a meme, and there's a lot of drama in PBE, and so I wanted to be involved with it, you know?
Seems like everybody likes the drama.
Well, you know, it's a simile. You know, anybody who tells you they don't like drama, I firmly believe is lying. I think everybody likes drama as long as they're not involved in said
Yeah,
drama.
I was gonna say that exact same thing. I was like, I like it as long as I'm not involved in
Oh yeah, if I could just sit on the sideline, eat some popcorn, and read all the comments, man, I'm into
it.
it. But
That's
if
what
it
we do.
involves me, you know, if it involves me, then I'm not a big fan.
So I know in your opening statement there, when we kind of started talking about contracts, you mentioned agents. What are
Yeah.
you referring to? Are you referring to like literal people in the league that are kind of working as agents to help people?
Pretty much, yeah. So I can pull I kind of have the agent rules on my head. So basically how it works is if you're an agent, you can't have a player, which makes sense. That's there to kind of discourage like a bias, you know, like if I represent Arizona, right? So if you're a free agent, right? And I come to you and I'm like, hey, the best place for you is Arizona. Well, that might not be true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just.
Arizona might not be able to offer you everything, but I'm trying to get you there because I'm like, oh, this guy's a good player. I want him on my team. You know, whereas if I'm not on a team anymore, it's kind of like I'm more than likely going to try and serve your best interest. And I do like that aspect. It kind of makes agents boring during the season. The off season is really when you get a chance to shine. And since there's not a ton of league movement, you know, there's not a lot of movement in this league. It kind of makes it a little bit more difficult. For you know, to be an agent, to actually do stuff, you know.
So now hearing that, you have an agent, correct?
I do not have an agent. No, I represented myself in all my contract talks. I'm pretty well educated on contracts because I did a lot of research because I knew what I wanted and I knew what I could ask for. So no, I do not have an agent. I want to be an agent someday. But that 10 mil a season cost is a little steep.
Wonder if that's maybe was that. I don't know, I thought I seen something on one of the Twitter profiles about agent to Rich Triplett or something. Is that just
Oh,
your is that just your
lawyer.
Twitter?
My lawyer. Ah,
Oh, your lawyer.
that's my friend.
Oh,
That's my
got
real
you.
life friend who doesn't have a player in the league and just likes to troll in Gen Chat, and so he made his character my lawyer, but he's not involved in any of my contracts. He doesn't even know what goes on in the
Gotcha. I
league.
thought that for some reason I was thinking it said agent to Rich Triplett,
Oh
but
yeah,
that
no.
makes more sense.
He's got the biggest hands in the league though, so I can tell you
That's
that much.
awesome. So what would you advise to players coming in? I mean, I know you said no trade clause. What should people be looking for with the draft coming up tomorrow night?
So what I would encourage people to look for as a rookie, you know, I can go a little bit more in depth post rookie contracts. But as a rookie, I think the main things you should look for in your first contract is, first of all, no trade clause. We already covered that. But the second thing is, don't be afraid to ask for an option. So options are a way to get out of your contract earlier. So say you sign a 3-year deal, that third year you have a mutual or an player option, you can execute that option and get out of town. The main reason I encourage that is in case you're not happy with your team. Some people aren't super happy with the team that they went to. You know, maybe they're happy at first and then they kind of aren't as happy. You know, stuff like that happens. Like, you know, you're in this league for fun. So I don't think that you should necessarily have to be bound. You know, I'm a very pro player kind of guy. I'm trying not to sound like I'm like tampering or anything, like a mass tamper going on or anything.
Well, I
So
mean, I don't know if necessarily, informing people is could something you could consider tampering. I mean,
I agree. You know, I just
I don't think you're
I'm
really telling people
I don't know. It's, I guess it is a kind of a fine line, but
You know, I'm mainly just saying, don't be afraid to ask for it, because if you turn out not happy with your team, I mean, that causes some people to go inactive. You know, some people just drop the league because they aren't happy. You know, they're like, you know, my player's not producing, I'm not getting playing time, you know, I'm stuck in the DSFL, stuff like that. Some people aren't happy about that. You know, I was fine with chilling in the DSFL, but some people aren't, you know. So getting that option, at least on your final season that you're going to be with the team, I think is important. Because then you've kind of been around the league for a little bit. You've kind of shown you're at a good TPE point to where you can test free agency and still get a solid payday. I heavily encourage people look for a player or mutual option. Most teams will give a mutual option. I think you'd be hard pressed not to find a team that won't at least give you 1 year of a mutual option. The mutual part, the team can also execute the option and cut you for no money, but if you're active, most teams aren't going to do that, and they'd only really do that if you were inactive in order to clear up some cap space. So that's the only real time I've seen that used.
So what's the average length of a rookie contract?
So most people sign for 3 years. So the longest you can sign up to 1, 2, or 3 year deals. But you can only sign up to 3 years until you eclipse 800 TPE, which, if you're like a max earner, you're typically gonna get that. I mean, even if you're not like a max earner, quote unquote, most people can get to that about their third or fourth season. So you'd be looking at that's when you're gonna get your kind of big contract, if you're gonna stick with the team or whatever you wanna do. So most deals are, I'd say, 2 to 3 years. Kind of depending.
And then you have that mutual option or whatever for your third year to get out.
Yep. So if that's what you want, you know, you don't have to ask for it. If you're like super stoked on your team, you're like, I'm gonna be here forever, you know, then it's usually not that big of a deal. But it's nice to kind of have that, like I said, option, you know, because teams can change pretty quickly. You know, you look at Baltimore, last season or 2 seasons ago, I mean, complete tear down and rebuild. Most of the people who were on that team when I came in the league aren't even associated with them anymore, which isn't a knock on Baltimore or anything. It's just that's how it went.
So now that so once your rookie contract's over, you were saying, post rookie deals. What's the what are you looking for after you get out of your rookie deal?
Now that kind of depends on you and what position you play, right? So, you're a defensive end, right? So I'm just going to use defensive end for an example. Realistically, defensive end wise, the only real say you can have is like picking which side you want to play on. So if you start noticing like, hey, right defensive end tends to get more stats than left defensive end, and obviously that depends if you run a 3-4 or 4-3, but then you can ask in your contract, hey, I only want to play this position. I only want to play right defensive end unless you guys clear it with me, right? If you're a wide receiver, you can do the same thing. You can go into free agency and say, hey, I want a wide receiver one spot. And you know, this stuff's negotiable. Some teams, they'll already have a really high TPE wide receiver, but they might be in regression. So they'll say, hey, this is what we can do. We can give you wide receiver two. And then once you eclipse him in TPE, we'll swap you, you know. And there's also some limiting factors there in that, you know, some teams have that taken, right? So like Arizona, for example, I have it in my contract, I'm CB1. So if they want to sign a cornerback and he demands CB1, then they're going to have to ask me to waive that clause in order to sign him, which, no offense, Kronk, I'm not doing that for the team. if he listens to this. You know, not maybe when I'm regressing, or you know, if I think we're that one piece away or something, you know, I might. This stuff can change, but yeah, that's kind of what I encourage. If you're trying to get stats and you're trying to make the Hall of Fame, look for the best opportunity for you. And there's a lot of things in the sim that you can't control. You know, you can earn your TPE, you can get all the stats, you know, all your player stats up, all the traits, you know, and you still might not perform at the level you want, but all you can really control is the position you put yourself in. And that is what I think a lot of people forget about. You know, I've seen a lot of people in the community that, you know, they're 1200 TPE and they don't perform the way they want. Well, that's because they're playing, you know, slot wide receiver or nickelback or something like that, a position that it's important for the team to have one there, right? But if you're that high of a TPE and you're looking for stats, it doesn't present the best opportunity to gather those. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a ton of sense.
So, you know, I've seen a couple early retirements just because like the stats aren't there, and that's just kind of how it goes, you know. And you know, it sucks for that, but you know, that's something you can always look for, is, you know, those the opportunities.
Yeah, putting yourself into, like you said, the position to make sure you're available to at least get the stats that you're wanting to put up. Just have the opportunity to get those stats.
And sometimes it might be a decision that you may, you know, maybe you don't care about stats and you're like, I want to win. So you just go to the best team, you know, and then, you know, you look at budget sheets and when is this team going to start regressing and stuff like that. And how does this team look roster wise? And if I were to join it, what would that impact down the line? So again, this is something I think a lot about. Some people just don't really care, which is totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, I can. Is this your first player? This is coming this through, right?
Yep. First player. Been here since last July, August.
I know we spoke about it on the first podcast. I was pretty sure it was your first player, but
yeah, July 20th is when I joined. So getting 2 months, it will be a year. Holy moly, that's crazy. That's just weird, man.
I can't imagine how you feel. I'm blown away just thinking about this time last season is about the time I joined. You know, right before this is when I joined the league.
Yeah,
it's already been a full season cycle already. It feels like I just got here.
Yeah, this season went by real quick though. It was kind of strange. Like everybody that I've talked to has been like, "Yeah, this season just zipped right by." It was very odd. I mean, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, it just feels weird to be going into my second season already. You're thinking about, wow, you know, I joined last season during the Ultimus task, and I got to watch the ISFL draft and everything like that. And here I am about to go through it, and it feels like I should be, you know, still working through my rookie season as a prospect here. But
Well, you're doing great, man. You know, you're definitely. I mean, you were nominated for most dedicated member, man. That's not an easy award to get nominated for. So be proud of that.
Oh yeah, it was cool. I didn't know I was nominated for anything, so to even see my name up there was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always a fun time to see your name on the award slides.
You know, obviously hoping for a little bit of a different outcome, but you know, still being up there was fun.
You know, and just getting the nomination, you know, that's the big thing. Can I derail this real quick? Because I know Pat's going to listen to this.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I said, just getting nominated in the DSFL, that's a big deal, Pat. Remember, Pat? All right, that's it. He'll know what that's about.
So you want to fill the rest of us in? Or?
Oh, yeah. So season 25, Pat was our awards rep in Tijuana, and the DSFL, he was our awards rep. And the awards committee decided to only send 4 cornerbacks to awards. And there's a 5th spot. So they only sent 4 and there's a 5th spot. And I didn't have a super great season. I had like 3 picks and 6 PDs, but it was enough to where he could have been like, hey, just throw him on there, you know? And that would have been nice to see. So I always give him crap. I'm pretty well over it at this point, but I just think it's funny.
That is funny.
So yeah. Yeah. The other thing I do want to bring up is money, because there's a, like, in terms of contracts, there's a huge and you know, it's always a touchy subject when it comes to it, because the cap space argument is definitely valid, because the cap space, it's, I wouldn't say it's low, because right now, if we were to call all the DSFL prospects up, you know, they'd all have a spot. There wouldn't be like anybody left over, per se. You know what I'm saying? But it's still tough, because you know, some people ask for more money or bonuses or stuff like that, and you have to set it aside. For new players coming in, I always tell them, you know, don't be afraid to ask for a little extra money. You probably ain't gonna get 5 or 6 mil. You're probably looking closer to 2 or 3. You can ask for 5 or 6, and hey, if you get it, more power to you, man. you know, but you know, with how the cap works, it's pretty tough to ask for something like that unless a team has just money to throw. which a lot of teams don't, you know, especially at this stage where there's not a lot of rebuilders, or kind of some of the teams that are rebuilding are, you know, pretty quickly going to hit the point where they're going to have to re-sign the team that they built around. So kind of hits that, but don't be afraid to ask for it or ask for a bonus. You know, if you struggle to earn, and one of that reason is money, you know, maybe set your bonus as like, okay, if I earn 100 TPE in this season, then I get an extra mil. Cool. There you go. You know, you can ask for bonuses too. Don't be afraid, you know, awards, bonuses, stuff like that. So it's something that I think is really heavily stigmatized in this league, that you have to take the minimum. And I don't really like that. I mean, granted, I say that as I took a minimum, but I've, you know, a lot of league jobs, well, which I don't particularly want. So if anybody wants to be ISFL backup streamer, I don't mind doing it. But if somebody else wants it, you're free to take it. You know, I do wiki work. I'm GM at Tijuana. I was rookie mentor for a while. So, you know, I took a minimum because I can afford that, but I know not everybody has that, has kind of that drive, you know, to do media or graphics or podcasts or whatever they want to do for money.
Yeah, I know for me, I guess monetary, I'm not too concerned about, I guess money, at least for my player.
You've been killing it with the podcast, man. You're good.
I make the podcasts. I just got my first league job. I'm also, you know, fingers crossed, I'm applied for the rookie mentor position. I don't know when they're going to make that decision, but.
Yeah, lots of applications on that one.
I'm sure. I've heard that the rookie mentor is one that everybody applies for almost every time it comes up. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the big thing is like I think we got like 20 applicants or something like that. So it's been tough to just kind of even start narrowing it down. So
yeah, I've been just trying to I guess get a job where I can. So I'm excited to be on the grading team. That's been a fun one for me to be a part of.
You do the podcast grading now, right?
Yes, I'm the new podcast grader.
A+, man. A+.
So it was the position that I was hoping for. It was the job that I wanted, so I'm really happy that one came available for me to get. So
Yeah. I'm glad that you like it, man. It's a, you know, it's an important role, and I know it can be tough just because like you have to sit and listen to them, and that can be kind of a tough part just because, you know, the hours in the day, you know?
Yeah. That was something where, you know, when I was, some of the podcasts were getting backed up, and that was the, you know, kind of the point I was trying to make when I was talking to the grading team was, you know, there are people that enjoy listening to the podcast, like, those should, you know, maybe be the people that are in charge of grading the podcast instead of somebody who doesn't really care to listen to them and, you know, has to struggle to sit through them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for me, like I make my podcast, so I try to listen to what everybody else is putting out because I want to hear, you know, I want to hear the other product that's coming out of the league just because of my general interest in my podcast alone. So for me, it was something that I was already, you know, making a point to do. So that's why I was like, look, I'm already doing this. Like, I'm, you know, just letting you guys know when you're ready to hire somebody, like, I am already doing this.
There you go. Right. You're already doing the work. So just start paying me and make it official.
I pushed that point across basically the entire season. And then finally it paid off in the end. So,
hey, I'm happy to hear that, man. You're a great podcaster, your podcast grader. You're a great podcaster too. I just don't really listen to a ton of podcasts, but I try to tune in, but I would not be good at that job.
Everybody seems to be pretty happy with the, I've only been on it for, you know, a few days now, but basically having same day turnaround on majority of the podcasts, everybody's pretty happy so far. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was a big point of contention. I remember when, I think it was Sloth stepped down, and that's when grading kind of started to back up. So it's nice to have somebody who is down to kind of cruise through it. So, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any more contract stuff.
We got a little derailed there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, you know, that's just talking. I BS a lot. That's kind of my job. So, we went over money, clauses, options. Those are kind of your biggest ones. Obviously second contract is typically a little bit more impactful than rookie ones. Main thing I'd look for in rookie ones is, you know, maybe some extra cash if you need it. If you don't, just take the minimum and no trade clause and then an option, you know, just in case. For anybody listening out there, if you don't like your team, that way it gives you an out, you know. Not saying anything more than that, but that's just my general advice.
So the standard contract that's going to be presented to everybody, what's that? 3 years, what, 2 mil?
3 years, 2 mil, or 3 years, 1 mil, really depends on the team's cap situation. But you do get 4 mil per send down season. So if you sign that 3 year deal and the first deal they leave you in London, then you just pay, you know, then that you get paid 4 mil regard, even though your contract says only one. So you make a little bit less than your first ESFL season. But that's just because, you know, by that point, most people have already been in the league, and that'll kind of, it's not the cushion that the first contract is, because the first contract is there to pay for all your weekly trainings.
Gotcha.
And that's why it's less. Yeah, exactly. That way, you know, you can spend basically 2 months kind of getting acclimated, getting comfortable with the league. And then, you know, by that point, it's like, okay, by now you've probably figured out something to make money, whether it's Twitter, whether it's, you know, podcasts or graphics or media or wiki work or whatever it is. You know, usually you found something.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to, like I said, putting myself into another position. I'm trying to kind of get experience everywhere I can around the league. So
yeah, and you're doing a great job, man. Like I said, you're a great prospect, and getting that MDM, you know, nomination is, it's tough, but it's got to be a great feeling. I can't relate because I'm not dedicated enough, but I don't think I'll ever hit that point, to be honest. But I'm super happy when I see people that do that, especially in the, you know, when the DSFL ones happen too. Shout out to Suggs too. Not trying to discredit him or anything. So he's a great guy. You know, he does a lot of work. So yeah. I think that's about it. So I'll make kind of my closing statements. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want. Is the main thing. You're in this league to have fun, so have fun, and your definition might be different than other people's, and cross that bridge when it gets to it. Change the agent rules, change the holdout rules. Those are my two closing statements.
So before I let you go and let you off the hook there.
Oh.
But, yeah, I'm gonna keep you on the hook for just a second.
Oh, all good.
What are the agent rules that you're referring to? I know you've mentioned agents a few times, but what are the rules behind that?
So
aside from not having a player, obviously.
Let me pull up the official rules, because I don't want to misquote it. So I know you can't be associated with a team, which again, I totally 100% agree with that. I think you have to be off of a team for 3 seasons though. 3 seasons is about 6 months in real life time, which is a long time. And, you know, sitting on the sidelines for that long is kind of tough. I'm wrong. You don't have to do that. You just have to play. You have to be in the league for 5 full seasons prior to becoming an agent. I agree and I disagree with that. I'm kind of split on that. I think 3 seasons is plenty of time, but 5 seasons kind of gives you that full free agents experience. Agents can't be in a war room. Again, I agree with that. Can't have any affiliations. So this one, any communication between an agent and a GM regarding a player must include said player. However, and I agree with that, but I also think that if a player is represented by an agent, then the agent must be present for those talks, and as long as it involves contract trades or general inquiries. I think that that should be the case, because as it stands right now, GMs can just talk directly to the player, which is fine. But, you know, that kind of makes your job as agent pointless almost, yeah. You know. Agents got to pay the 10 mil per season. It's Ultimus to Ultimus. I really dislike that one. I think that's very expensive. Obviously, you can have league jobs and you can do Twitter and media and graphics. But essentially what you're doing is you are paying a substantial fee to not have a player and to really only be engaged with in the off season. And I really don't like that. Because you don't make anything as an agent, you know, like in real life, right? An agent gets a percentage of the contract. That's how they work, right? That doesn't happen in this league, which is fine. But 10 mil a season is very expensive. So that's the main gripe I have with it. I think 10 mil is an initial fee and then maybe a reduced renewal fee. So if you keep being an agent is a little bit more fair. So maybe it's 10 mil for your first season and then it's 3 mil every season after. Totally reasonable to get that done. You know, and it's tough to be an agent because if you talk to a player who is under contract and you aren't represented by them, I believe it constitutes tampering. So you kind of have to wait till the legal tampering period or go after tamperable people. I might be wrong on that though, so don't quote me on that one. But so that's pretty much my beef with it, is just like the price and the length of time that you have to be in the league. Five season, I'm not even in my fifth season.
Yeah.
And it's almost been a full year. You know, you're asking for a lot of commitment from somebody to become an agent. Now, again, I get it. The concern is people can just come in and troll, but that's why you have that $10 million barrier, right? So that you prevent people from just trolling as an agent.
Yeah, so, it does seem a little long to wait, to ask somebody to wait to, you know, hang around the league and not be involved, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sucks, you know. I mean, it just kind of sucks. It also really sucks that like there's nothing you can do during the season unless like one of your players requests a trade, and then it's also hard to just kind of get your name out there to these rookies, you know, unless you're hanging out in like DSFL servers. So I think that's really where you got to go, is you got to get in the DSFL servers, you got to become representatives to prospects like you before they are drafted, because that way you build that rapport and build that relationship.
How many agents are active in the ISFL?
Zero.
Oh, there's no agents then.
I've seen one agent in my entire time here, and he quit after one season.
I wonder if that has something to do with just the rules around being an agent in the league.
You know, and there agents used to be pretty popular, and that's why these rules came into place. There's a guy, SLM, who ran a very successful agency. And they passed all sorts of rules. I mean, the original rules behind them were ridiculous. All the money they made was divided in half. They weren't allowed to have league jobs. They didn't get Twitter. Media and graphics were 50% pay. It was just absolutely absurd, man. They eventually changed it, but I still think that it needs working on. I don't think that it's in a spot where it's an engaging part of the league. And I think that it can add a lot to the league. And I don't really think that it's fair that we don't have that. I can read you my rule proposal that I had, but I don't think I, hang on. Shit. Oh, language. Sorry. Yeah, we wrote a whole proposal about it, and, it got shut down pretty good by the GMs. And that's kind of another spot where I don't really think that's entirely fair. Like, if we really want to examine agents, why are the people voting on them GMs who like
the ones that have
obviously exactly who obviously don't want agents to be involved? Obviously most GMs don't like that I have this viewpoint, which makes sense because it's obviously counterproductive to what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to spend the least money as possible and get the best players. That's the whole goal, you know. I mean, obviously there's other things, cultivating a good locker room and stuff like that, but you know, a lot of GMs don't like them, which again, that's the same thing in real life, man. You think GMs absolutely like dealing with agents, but I think that it could add an engaging part of the league that is, in my opinion, sorely missing. I would love to have an agent, but I mean, I'm my own agent, so it doesn't really matter. So that's why I'm pretty committed after Rich Triplett's done and retired and everything. I'm probably going to be an agent for two or three seasons. And then before I recreate, you know, I'm gonna try and time my recreation. I got a couple things that I want to do, so I'm gonna debate. But yeah, I definitely plan on taking a little bit of a break after Rich Triplett, maybe just two seasons. I don't know if I'd be gone for three, because that's like 6 months.
Yeah, you take that much time off, I imagine it'd be hard to get back into it.
Yeah, well, you know, I always hang out with Tijuana guys, so we do.
Yeah, I guess if you're still active in Discord and still hanging around, it's not gonna be that hard to.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a long time off, you know.
It's a long time to just devote yourself to being away.
Exactly. So that's why I think I'd do like an agent, because it kind of keeps you involved in the league, just not super heavily. So.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't really sure about the agents thing before you came on. It's interesting. Across new aspects, like I didn't know that agents were even a thing in here. I know I just recently heard that there's. Somewhat of, I don't know, legitimate or not legitimate, somewhat of a like players union type thing that exists. I don't even know if that's,
I mean,
how that's associated, but
it is and it isn't. Oh, hey, thanks, good shouts. That's in the rule proposal in the union, so I could read you my actual rule proposal. So it kind of was, and then I feel like it kind of fell off. Which kind of bums me out. So basically there was a rule proposed that, you know, the union would get votes. It was a pretty well proposed rule. It didn't pass because, again, counterproductive to what the people who are voting on it are working towards, which, you know, this isn't, I'm not trying to slight any GMs across the league if they listen to this. I mean, if I was the GM of an ISFL team, I probably would consider the same thing, like that's probably not good for us, you know?
No, there should definitely be. I mean, if there's going to be things existing like agents and a players union and anything along those lines, no offense to the GMs. Like, I absolutely love the GMs that I've spoken to, but they should definitely not be the ones deciding on that at all.
You know, that's the way I kind of look at it. So, yeah. GMs. So it got shut down. And it didn't get officially shut down. The rule got shut down. And then. It just kind of fell off. Really bums me out. Because I really wanted to see it succeed, but not much you can do about it. You know, that's just kind of how it goes. Maybe it gets traction again. I mean, there's been talk of a players union from what I've heard forever. You know, I mean, that was like one of my ideas when I first came into this league. It was, you know, let's start a union. Let's get some representation going. So I can read you my contract or my rule proposal if you would like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is what I said in it. There are many responsibilities that go with being an agent in the ISFL, negotiating contracts, enforcing those contract clauses, which is actually a big deal. So if I have like CB1 in my clause and AZ doesn't play me at CB1, there's going to be a problem. But I know Krunk wouldn't do that because Krunk's a good guy. And so is Z-Wiz. So enforcing those contract clauses, finding the best situation for a player based on their wants and needs, such as statistical accomplishments, money or incentives. This can be overwhelming for players to do themselves. Having an agent can relieve the complications of contracts for players and let them enjoy the experience of being a player. The way the rules are currently laid out makes becoming an agent inaccessible to most users across the league, but can add a huge aspect to the community. Complaints run rampant of how players only take minimum deals, but having an agent can change that by having a third party involved with the contract. Again, a lot of people complain that everybody takes minimums, but then everybody takes minimums. I mean, I'm part of the problem, but again, money is pretty easy to come across in this league. Anyways, rule proposal. So an edit to Section 7, Rule C, Part 3. I don't know how to read these, man. I'm not a lawyer. Agent costs will no longer be $10 million a season. Instead, agent costs will be an initial fee of $10 million for a license, followed by a payment of $3 million per season to renew their license until the agent creates a player in the league. So if you recreate a player, then next time you retire and want to be an agent, you got to pay that $10 million again. Currently, an individual has to be in the league for 5 seasons to be eligible to be an agent. That amounts to around 10 months of being in the league. In addition, users. This is the part where I messed up. In addition, users must also have no team affiliation for 3 seasons, which adds another 6 months, which is a major commitment. But that part is not accurate. I don't know where that came from. So just that first part. So I changed it. My suggestion was to change it. Agents must be in the league for 2 full seasons prior to becoming an agent, which is you know, 4 months. To meet this time requirement, individuals do not have to create a player, but simply have to be an active user on the form. So if someone just wants to come into the league and be an agent, they could do that, you know, but creating a player isn't required technically right now, but it's like, what are you going to do around the league for 10 months if you're not a player, you know? Yeah,
and then trying to, if you just created without the, without being a player ever, trying to come up with that first 10 million to be, you know, pay your fees would be almost impossible.
Oh, it's tough. I mean, what do you write media about? What do you make graphics on? What do you do a podcast on? You know, you, it's going to be really hard to get a league job. You know, if you don't have a player, people are going to be very wary of you. So, you know, and again, I understand why some of these rules are in place, but I just think that we could look critically at them and think, why are there no agents in this league?
Yeah, there's a reason why.
Because it's not desirable, you know, it just isn't. So that's just the way I look at it. So, yeah.
So I know I got you derailed here a little bit and held you on a little longer. I did want to ask what you were referring to with the holdouts too before I signed off with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So holdouts are very uncommon. I don't think I've ever seen a holdout in this league. Let me pull up the actual holdout rules. So I don't encourage holding out. I think it makes for a really toxic start to your relationship if you're holding out. Especially if it, you know, that I think there are times when holding out makes sense and times when holding out like is just kind of being a dick. Forgive my language. But so essentially the current holdout rules are this. Once a player is drafted to a team, they must be signed to a contract. If they refuse to sign a contract, they will not be able to play in the ISFL or DSFL. Their only option is to sit out until they have a contract signed. Players who hold out are only allowed to do weekly trainings and activity checks. If a player sits out an entire season, does not sign with the team that drafted them, they will remain on no team until the season ends, and at the end of the season, they will be treated as a regular free agent. So that's how those work. It's pretty brutal on a player. It does suck for a GM too. I'm not going to sit here and pretend, but the GM gets punished a lot less than the player in this instance. Typically, the player is going to lose out on about 100 TPE. You can't buy equipment. You can't do predictions. You can't do PTs. You can't do Ultimus Week. All you can do are weekly trainings and activity checks, right? So there's about 7 weeks in a season. And you make 7 TPE a week from that, and that's 49 TPE. It's not a lot on a season, you know. I mean, it can completely derail a career if your goal is like Hall of Fame. My suggestion, you know, take away weekly trainings, right? So you lose that 5 TPE, right? But allow them to do point tasks, which include predictions, right? We're just going to say you average 6 from predictions. You get an extra 3 from the PT. Then you get 2. Now you're making 11 a week. I'm 7, which is 77, which I believe is more than what I said. It's average. We did the math. It averages out to be about 13 a week. 13 times 7 is 91 compared to the 49 you make. I mean, you're basically making double what you were making before. Not insanely brutal. Oh, we also said you could buy the tier 3 equipment, which is 15. Or no, yeah, 15. So that 15 plus that. So, you know, you still lose about 50 TPE, which is brutal, but not entirely, you know, not unrecoverable. You can get back there. But it still hurts you. You know, you lose, it's like 40 or 70 or something in that range. But essentially it still hurts you, but it doesn't hurt you enough, right? So you could end up in a situation where the team that drafts you, you ask for, we'll use the contract I was saying before, you ask for 2 million, a no trade clause and a mutual option your final season. That's what you want. They are willing to offer you 1 million for 3 seasons and that's it. They won't budge, right? Obviously, your relationship is already not starting out on a great foot if you guys can't negotiate a contract. So, you know, hypothetically, you're unhappy. you decide I'm not going to play for this team because this is not fun for me and this league's all about fun. All right. Well, team wasted a pick on you. All right. So even if, you know, even if that person's, you know, a second, first, third rounder, right? They use that pick on you. They don't get you for that season, but you're the one that's really getting shafted typically, you know. Typically, if you're a first round pick, you know, your GM's probably a little more willing to play ball. But if you're a third round pick, then, you know, sometimes GMs kind of treat you less importantly. I shouldn't say that. You kind of get what I'm saying. Like, they won't play ball as much because if you hold out, they've only lost a third rounder instead of a first rounder. But now you're completely screwed because your career, and you can't even play in the DSFL, which I think is really stupid. I think at the bare minimum, you should be able to play in your DSFL team, because if your player's not playing, you're going to lose interest in this league real, real quick. So I, you know, and the argument I've always been told when this comes up is, well, no one's held out, so why should we change the rules? Well, because people aren't going to hold out because they know how screwed they're going to be if they do. So, you know, and I'm not trying to encourage holding out. Yeah, which I get it, but it's got to be a two-way street, because right now it doesn't punish the GMs nearly as much as it punishes the players.
And I get what you're saying with the playing in the DSFL.
Mm-hmm.
But to a point, I mean, I kind of almost agree with that way that it's set up, just me as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about it, like, if you want to hold out, that's fine. Like, hold out, don't play for the season. Wait your turn. But to take away, for me, taking away the ability to earn TPE, like if you're holding out, but you're still doing your point tasks and you're still doing your weekly training because you have money in the bank and you're still trying to progress your player, like I don't feel like that. What does that have to do with your team association? What does being able to do point tasks and weekly prediction have to do with you being on a team? Like, that to me doesn't make much sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you wouldn't be able to do weekly trainings, but
well, that's what I'm saying. You can't do the point tasks or the weekly trainings or anything. So, but what does that have to do with, you know, like, if you,
you know, and I think part of it, you know, now that I think about this a little bit more, I think part of it might be because people could use that as like, I'm just going to stay down on my DSFL team. You know, they kind of force it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I get the not playing at all. Like, if you're going to hold out, I get, you're not allowed to play in the DSFL and you're not allowed to play in the ISFL. I understand that, but I would just think you should still want those players to be active in the league. You would want them to still be doing point tasks and making weekly predictions and, you know, everything else. Just because they're holding out and having an issue with your GM, you would still kind of want them to be as involved as possible without actually being in the sim, at least. That's the way I would think of it.
And, you know, and I agree. But, you know, it's got to be, like I said earlier, it does have to be a two-way street. So, you know, that's why I kind of, you have to concede some stuff as a player. But right now, I think you concede too much as a player, and I don't think the GMs concede enough. So, you know, with, you know, if we take away weekly training, but you can do everything else, now all of a sudden you're able to earn more TPE, which, you know, and if you're staying active, your GM's going to be willing a little bit more to play ball, because it's like, okay, this guy's still going to be earning and stuff, you know, so we got to get a deal done. So, again, it's not a very common thing. I don't think it ever will be a common thing, because most people, when they get drafted, are pretty stoked. They come in with their own biases, whether they like to or not. But, you know, new players are usually going to be pretty stoked. You're not going to see this very often, but again, I think it's just something that, you know, I think it should be examined. And it's kind of one of those things that, again, the GMs vote on it, and they're, you know, most GMs don't vote against themselves. You know, I'm not saying all GMs do that and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm not trying to accuse anybody. I'm just merely making a statement.
I imagine it's something that, you know, right now, nobody, you know, like you said, nobody really wants to go through that. And from what I've seen, most teams don't really seem to want to have that kind of distraction or issue around their team.
Oh, absolutely not. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want that either. You know,
it seems like a situation where, you know, if that player is that unhappy and wants to go, like, there's going to be a trade, or they're going to, you know, come up with a mutual agreement that works to, you know, make both parties happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you know, most people are willing to play ball. You know, I'll say that. It's just kind of one of those things that, you know, most people will play ball, most people are going to be fine, but you know, there can be those situations, you know, I've seen it myself, where people are not happy. So, you know, what can you do? Right. So.
Right on, man. I appreciate you coming on. Sorry, I took a little more of your time than you.
Oh, were, man. Yeah, I'm Minnesotan. So that's just how I am, man. You get me on that Minnesota goodbye, I'm going to take like 20 minutes just to get out of a building. So
I got no problems there. I kept asking the question. So.
Alrighty, sir. Well, anything else? Any last things you got for me?
I think that's it, man. I think you covered everything pretty well and answered all my questions. We got derailed a couple times, but that's all right.
Hey, you know, it happens, right? Okay.
Happens during a good conversation. So.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks again for having me on. I'm glad that I was able to come on. I really enjoyed it. So.
Absolutely, I appreciate you coming on, and like I said, sharing your knowledge with us about what to expect and what to look for, and you know, giving a different viewpoint on some things that happen around the league. So it's definitely appreciated.
Yeah, man. Well, if you ever have any other questions, I'm excited for you to see where you went in the draft. I know, but I think you're going to be real happy, and good luck to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Special thanks to Grag9 and Katasa. And if you enjoyed the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.